It's time for Q&A with Joe Ray. Call Joe Ray now at 646-721-9887. That's 646-721-9887.
Nothing else, you got to admit, that's kind of a catchy little tune. Welcome to the program. I'm Robin, and on the line with me, since this is the QA with Joe Ray, is Joe Ray herself. Good afternoon, Joe Ray.
Good afternoon. Good evening. We've hit the evening time, you know.
We did. That would explain the darkness.
It would, and in some places it's morning. But for all of you on the West Coast, good afternoon or good evening or whatever, wherever you are in the world.
Welcome.
It's Monday. What can we say?
Exactly. So what I'd like to do is invite people to give us a call if you have a question. We're not taking questions on the air, but I will answer the phone and take a question off the air and pass it on to Joe Ray. Same thing, too, if you want to send an email, talk@krbnradio.net right now while we're live. Off air, you can also send emails to talk@krbnradio.net or to Joe Ray directly. And how would they do that, Joe Ray?
They can send an email to me. We'll make it really easy. They can send it to my Gmail account, which normally we don't do, but let's make life easy. And they can just send it to Perkins4Oregon@gmail.com. They could even Facebook question if they wanted to. They can just find Perkins for Oregon on Facebook, Perkins F-O-R Oregon, and send a message. It'll pop up on my screen. I'll see it. So ask away. We want to know what you're concerned about.
Absolutely. What bugs you? And here's your opportunity to actually talk to a real live candidate.
Yes, it is.
Speaking of, how's the campaign going? Do you have any updates for our audience?
Lots of updates. So things are gearing up just as I expected that they would after we got past the holiday season and people are really starting to get into the swing of things. So this last week, I was down in Roseburg at the Umpqua Valley Republican Women's Lunch Meeting. It's great to see a lot of the ladies I have not seen for a while and make new friends. Saturday, I went up to the Oregon Liberty Alliance Freedom Rally. That was phenomenal. We had Todd Starnes he's a commentator with Fox, as a speaker, Michelle Malkin and Denise D'Souza. So absolutely phenomenal. Saw 1,500 of my closest friends and made new ones along the way. And the week before that, Saturday before that, I was in Hillsboro at the Western Liberty Network event where we got to hear a lot of the statewide candidates speaking. This next week, tomorrow, I'm in Sutherland at the Tea Party meeting. So if you're in the Sutherland area, there's a Tea Party meeting that starts at 7 p.m. at the Sutherland Community Center. Thursday night, I head back down south. I'm in Roseburg at the, at the Oath Keepers in Douglas County at the county courthouse. So I'm going to that event. Saturday, we're headed to Grants Pass to the Josephine County Republican Party Lincoln Day Dinner. Joseph Farah of World Net Daily and Whistleblower Magazine and David Krupelian, I know I'm butchering his name, they are the keynote speakers. Very excited about that. So that is just this week. Thursday night, the following week, the 18th, I'm back in Eugene Springfield at the Lane County Republican Women's monthly meeting. They're having an evening meeting. And then it's down to Coos County. So those of you down in the Coos County area on the 20th, I believe it's at the Bowling Center. And I'll double check that before we're done. We've got a candidate roundtable, so I will be there along with three or four of the U.S. Senate candidates, and we'll be kind of doing round robin at the different tables. The attendees, they sit, and the candidates move, and we talk. And so I'm really looking forward to that. So if anybody wants me to come down and visit with them, if you're in any of those areas, drop me a note, text me, email me, find me on my website, perkins4oregon.com, and you can track me down.
And those events,
that's what's going on right now.
And those events will be on your website?
There are, the website is being revamped, so I'm hoping that Zach has it all done. I checked it yesterday, and I know he's still getting all the changes through, so hopefully they'll be up there soon.
Excellent. And folks, don't be afraid to talk with her. She's or ask a question. She's very open and definitely welcomes your questions.
Yes, it's one of the things that I like to do, Robin. I really want to know what is on the hearts of the voters. So many times candidates tell the voters what they want to think. They tell them who, you know, we've got the media telling you who you should vote for. When I was down at the Lane County Republican Party meeting in October, I think it was, last fall, I asked what was important to them. I think it's more important that I know what is really on the hearts and minds of voters out there. There's so many issues that are facing America that sometimes we wonder where to begin with how to deal with everything that we're going through. So if you've got a burning issue, by all means, please let me know. And if it's an area, I know the last time, 2 weeks ago, we addressed a lot of issues that were basically state-related. The idea of the federal government is that we are not telling the states what to do. The people are to tell the federal government what to do. So I don't mind the state questions, but I really want to know at the federal level what is on the minds of people.
Well, maybe it might help, too, is kind of tell people, because some people really don't understand the role of government. So since you're running for the 4th Congressional District, what exactly does a congressman do?
So a congressman, congresswoman, U.S. representative, and I'm going to explain that real quick, and then I'm going to answer that question. Why are we called congresspersons, congresswomen, congressmen? It's because, so the Congress is really the House and the Senate combined. But the reason that the representatives are referred to in that congressional term is because the states are broken up into congressional districts. Now, some states, like I believe it's Montana, have one representative. It's based on population. So they have one representative for their entire state and two senators. So every state has two senators. So so that's why we're called congresswomen or congressmen. So the Constitution says that the federal government, their powers are delegated. They are few and defined. Everything that is not defined in the Constitution is left to the state governments, and those are numerous and indefinite. So what is primarily the role of the federal government, the Congress, the House, the Senate? Objects as war, peace, negotiations, and foreign commerce. And I'm actually reading right now from a book by Chris Ann Hall called The Path to Restoring America, and she puts this in such great terms, it's just easier for me to read what she says than me to make it all, you know, come up with it, because she does it so eloquently. So basically I'm trying to find the rest of what she wrote, of course, but the Constitution says, the Ninth Amendment says that all rights belong to the people, enumerated or not. The Tenth Amendment says that aside from powers delegated, everything else belongs to the people through their states. So the government, again, was only delegated certain limited powers, namely and specifically war, peace, foreign commerce, and negotiations. That's it. What is the job of the federal government? Not. It is not to be in education. It is not to be in healthcare. It is not to be in building interstate highways. The only roads that are referred to in the Constitution are postal roads. It doesn't say anything else about any other roads. Recognizing that this was before we had the automobile or the train, they still had roads because they had horses and wagons. So there were still roads, otherwise they wouldn't know about a postal road. So that's the only job that the federal government was supposed to do in reference to highways. So they're supposed to protect our borders. We are a sovereign nation. Each state is sovereign unto itself. Each state, according to the Constitution, is also allowed the right to protect its own borders. So we are supposed to be a limited government at the federal level, moving slowly. One of the areas that the federal government has been interfering in has been in the area of religion. And for those who are Christian in belief, we feel it. We feel a real attack on it. The First Amendment says freedom of, that's OF, freedom of religion, not freedom from religion.
Right.
Which means we get to exercise our faith or not exercise a faith. If you chose, if you so choose to not exercise any faith in any religion at all, if you're agnostic or atheist, you are allowed that underneath our Constitution, just as I am allowed to worship God through my Christian faith and my Jewish friends through Judaism and people that I have friends. I actually work full time at Oregon State University, and we've got students that are Muslim, and I talk with them and I get along great because most of them, in all honesty, are not radicals. There's a few I wonder about, but the point is that we all have the right to worship our God however we want to or not worship it. But what has happened, starting in 1954, there's this whole thing called the Johnson Amendment. And I found this really interesting, and I knew about it, but I wanted to do a little bit more research because at some point in our history, churches stopped talking about the government. Well, what happened in 1954, then Senator Johnson was being attacked by people in the faith community. So he got an amendment passed, a rider on a bill that was passed. And it says that Congress that are nonprofits, basically Christian churches and organizations, could not speak in favor of any political candidate. But it's not even constitutional. So that's the amazing thing. So he appeared on the Senate floor in July of 1954 and offered the amendment to a massive tax code overhaul bill. There were no committee hearings on this bill. No legislative analysis took place to examine the effect on the bill or what effect it would have on churches and religious organizations. And so what has happened since 1954 is the churches have gotten more and more out of discussing any political issues, whether they be a candidate or whether they be any legislative issues that are going on. So this is just symptomatic of an overbearing, overarching government going into areas that they don't belong. So it's time that we speak up.
And I guess that's one of the questions is what can you do? What can the public do in all reality?
So the public can talk to their pastors and say, hey, we'd like to hear where you stand on certain political issues. A lot of pastors are in fear, and they should not be, but they are in fear of the IRS taking away their 501c3, which makes their property taxes tax exempt and donations tax deductible. So a lot of pastors are afraid to do that. They're afraid to ruffle feathers. Well, pastors that are listening, you need to speak the truth. So people need to talk to their pastors and say, you know, we want to know where this is biblically. Where does this stand? And the pastors can speak about a candidate without speaking their name. They don't want to violate their tax status. If they're more afraid of man's law than God, then so be it. But you could say things like, there's two candidates running for this position. One is pro-life. One is pro-abortion. Read about the candidates, see what their views are, go to their websites, check for the incumbents, their voting records. I support a pro-choice candidate, or, you know, Where's your values? What's the scripture say about life, for example? So those kinds of things can be done. Writing sometimes to our representatives, especially if they are very liberal, and if you do not agree with their agenda, you're going to get a boilerplate letter back to them, back from them.
And if you're lucky, it addresses the question that you asked.
Right. Usually it's, thank you very much for your concerns. I appreciate that you've contacted me. If you have any other questions regarding this matter, please feel free to contact my office again. Sincerely, John Q., elected person.
Yeah.
So the other things they can do, and some of the things that have been done, which we talked about this, I think, a month ago, Robin. Oh, gosh, time flies.
Yes.
Is the things that have been going on over in Eastern Oregon. Unfortunately, Lavoie Finicum lost his life at the hands of our government. And the question is why? What was going on over in Eastern Oregon that would rile up so many people? Because of where I work, I have been able to gain a perspective from one of the retired faculty members whose son actually works for the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, over in Burns. I have spoken to people that have gone over there, that have talked to, I talked to one man who's talked to Lavoie Finicum face-to-face 4 days before he was killed by the FBI. One of the other gentlemen that I talked to on Saturday said to me, he said, I can tell you that of the protesters that are there, those who are coming and glued about the federal government taking over land illegally, 1 in 10 were carrying firearms. Mm-hmm. The problem is the government sent in people undercover. And the suspicion is that they have been the ones that have gone out there and harassed the citizens and have slashed tires and have followed people home. And I get this based upon the conversations that people I've talked to had with people that have been over there. They are being peaceful. They're talking to the citizens. Unfortunately, this issue has split the community, and I feel really bad about that. But let's go back a few hundred years. Very similar issues split the communities when the men that we now call patriots and founding fathers challenged the crown and challenged what they were doing. 1/3 of the people were happy with the status quo. 1/3 of the people didn't really care either way. That would be that 1/3 of the people. 1/3 of the people were loyal to the crown. The other third said there's a better way. And they're the ones that we call the patriots, the founders, that created this amazing nation. So I look at what's been going on over in Eastern Oregon, and I say, aren't these the same hearts? And these men and women that have gone over there saying, wait a minute, we have a constitution, and it's very clear what the government can do and what it cannot do, and this is clearly outside of the role of the federal government. What they're doing is left to the states, and it is in the 10th Amendment, it is in the 9th Amendment, it is in the first article in Article 1. So we need to stand up. We need to have a voice. Write letters to the editor. Write letters. Write letters to elected officials. Run for political office. I don't expect everybody to run for Congress or Senate. Run for a water board. The water boards are huge. Run for school board. Get elected. Get on some commissions. Get on the budget committee of your county or your city. There's so many things that we can do because we need to see what is going on. For so long, we've just, the more conservative-leaning people, citizens have just, we go to work, we do our thing, we take care of our families. In the meantime, those who are liberal have been infiltrating everything, and we're losing our country because of it.
And if you think about it, not to throw a controversy out there, but if you remember, also in Burns as well, they found two wireless high-powered remote cameras that were mounted up on the telephone poles that
people
were aware of. And those didn't just, you just don't go up there the way they were mounted and just when nobody's looking and stick it up there. That took a little bit of work.
Well, the narrative on that, I happened to watch the video on that. And by the way, for those people that saw the video and saw the gentleman taking down those cameras, that was LaVoy Finicum that was killed. The power company said they were the ones that put them up there recently after the snow had fallen. I found that a little odd because the company said they need to put cameras up for watching something. I'm not sure what. But how does that employee know that the federal government did not say to that utility company they needed those cameras set up there?
Right.
That, you know, we don't know that it didn't come through higher ups through the chain of command to install those cameras. Just happened to coincide with Ammon Bundy and his fellow patriots being over there. I'm not saying that that how they went about it was the right way, nor am I saying it was the wrong way. What I'm saying is they brought to light a huge issue that has been going on. And Clive and Bundy, Ammon's father down in Nevada, went through the same thing. So,
and that's why they need, to emphasize the point you're making, is the best way to change the government or take back control of the government is from the inside.
Exactly.
And a candidate like you that is open to the people directly, not just going, well, we've all heard this. Well, the people want this. How do you know that? Have you asked them?
Yeah, exactly. Here's a great example. Many of the universities have been going through this issue with students where they feel that they are being discriminated against. Well, Oregon State, there was a speak out. And at the speak out, one of the students had made a comment. She got up and spoke, and she's not from the United States. She's an international student. And she did not like the fact that she was being called on to, quote-unquote, speak for her country. She did not ever speak to the professor one-on-one or when she got up in front of the class. See, I can only speak for myself and my experiences, which would be the right thing to do. So the students basically were saying, hey, we want to be respected for who we are. We don't want to be the token spokesperson for this nationality or this country. So what has the university done? They're going, oh, okay, so you want us to bring in a whole bunch of professors who are from other countries. Now, they haven't said that. Now, we happen to have some great professors in the department I'm in. One of them is from India, very smart man. I like him a lot. He's teaching a class. One of the students came in and says, I don't understand him because of his accent, and he speaks very, very fast. And I speak fast, people, and I know I do, but imagine somebody with a heavy accent speaking fast. You have to listen actively. But it pointed out that, wait a minute, the students didn't say that they wanted an international teaching faculty. They wanted to be respected.
Right.
So they weren't asked what they wanted. The university made the assumption that they wanted diversification in the faculty. If I was a student, and I just was recently, I don't care where you're from. I want the best candidates the university can get for that job. It doesn't matter to me where they're from, and it shouldn't matter to any other student where they're from. So we need to find out really what's important to people, not what we think is important.
Absolutely, and the best way to do it is, like you say, is to get involved and to educate yourself and to send letters. And don't be afraid to ask questions, folks. I'm repeating myself, but how many other candidates are there out there that is making themselves available like Joe Ray is doing right now? Take advantage of it.
So on that availability, Robin, when the Voters Guide came out when I ran for the U.S. Senate 2 years ago, yeah, I was the only Senate candidate that put their personal cell phone number in there. And people actually called me.
Wow.
Because they went, wow, you're the only candidate that's got their phone number in there. I have a question. And they would call and ask me. They voted for me, or they said they were going to vote for me. I didn't win, and that's okay. So you don't always win the first time out, and that's just part of the process that you go through. But in the time that we have left, I want to read something. And again, I'm reading about three books simultaneously right now, and Chris Ann Hall is one that I'm reading. And she's talking about Madison, describes what a totalitarian nanny state America that ignores and distorts constitutional meaning would look like. And this is Madison. If Congress can employ money indefinitely to the general welfare and are the sole and supreme judges of the general welfare, they may take the care of religion into their own hands. They may appoint teachers in every state, county, and parish and pay them out of their public treasury. They may take them into their own hands, the education of children, establishing in like manner schools throughout the Union. They may assume the provision for the poor. They may undertake the regulation of all roads other than post roads. In short, everything from the highest object of state legislation down to the most minute object of police would be thrown under the power of Congress, for every object I have mentioned would admit of the application of money and might be called, if Congress pleased, provisions for the general welfare. That was James Madison, 1792. That's where we are today. And that is not what this country was founded on. We need constitutional conservative candidates. And what does that mean? It means somebody who says, this is what the Constitution says. Every elected official takes an oath of office. It is your job as voters and as citizens to hold your elected officials their feet to the fire and say, wait a minute, you are voting against the Constitution. I will not put you back into office. I will vote for somebody who will stand up for the Constitution and do what they say they're going to do, which is hold that oath of office and defend the Constitution.
Be accountable.
Be accountable.
Well, Joe Ray, we're just about out of time, so
I know.
Share with people again where they can get a hold of you.
They can get a hold of me, Perkins4Oregon.com, Perkins4Oregon at Gmail. Twitter is Perkins4Oregon. Facebook is Perkins4Oregon. I think there's a theme here, Perkins4Oregon. I am a Main Street American. Just like you, I am frustrated about where America has headed. Let's make a difference, folks. Come alongside. Help me win. Help me take back America.
Absolutely. And that's the first way. First start in doing that is to ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Do your research. And again, Joe Ray, you're going to be back here again on February 22nd, 6:30?
Yes, I am. Amazingly, my Monday nights have not filled up yet. So we will do this as long as we can. Hopefully we'll even be able to start to do it every week if we start getting more and more questions to where we can't get through them all on a biweekly basis.
Absolutely.
So, Robin, I appreciate all of your time and your support. And, folks, come alongside. And if you can't vote for me, get behind the candidate that you can vote for that you know is a constitutional conservative, one that is going to hold true to their oath of honor. We're not perfect people. We're just like you. We're going to make mistakes. But we've got to start making a change in this country. Joe Ray Perkins for Oregon, for America, for such a time as this.
Absolutely. And again, thank you so much for coming on, Joe Ray. We'll see you again February 22nd, 6:30 p.m. And again, don't be afraid to send your questions to her. And or if you want, you can send them to us at talk@krbnradio.net, and we'll pass them on to Joe Ray, and she'll answer them on the program or on the Facebook or whichever. Again, Joe Ray, thank you for coming on. See you on February 22nd.